Hey, this is Al Fake over here at BNCLive.com. Hey, it's June 12th, 2017. Well, tonight we have Tony DeSanto coming on with us. Tony's going to talk about his music career. I'm looking at his Facebook page here, and it has it's quite an extensive career. Tony currently runs Tony D's Music Room, and we're going to talk to him about that as well. We're also going to talk about live music on Main Street, an interesting topic we have here about live music and live musicians. Hang on, I think we have Tony on the line. Let me see if this is Tony, and we'll get right back to you. Stand by. Tony, is that you? Hang on, Tony. I got your mic on now. Is that you, Tony?
Yeah, Al, I can't get the show on the computer. How come?
Okay, can you hear me okay?
I can hear you over my phone, yeah.
Okay, that's fine. So what are you trying to get on? Are you trying to get on with your computer?
Yeah, I'm trying to listen to your show.
Well, what'll happen is if you're talking, this is Tony, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you're talking, the phone is your microphone. So if you're talking the show, actually, and you listen on the computer, you're going to hear a delay.
Well,
it's going to be confusing.
No, I wanted to record the show. I don't need to put the speakers on the computer. I just got to get it to play, and then I can turn my speakers down.
Okay, so you would go to BNCLive.com. I believe it's / live now. So hang on, let me check for you. I don't remember. What does it say on the pretty silly, I don't know my own URL. I post, it's like driving
down.
It's like driving down a street. You don't never know the name of the street, but you drive down it every day.
I'm on that page.
Okay. So you'll actually get a recording of the show because we're actually recording the show now. So you'll actually get a recording of the entire show. All right. So you don't really have to worry too much about that. You'll have a nice clean recording. So what's going on, Tony? How you been?
I'm all right. I'm okay. How about you?
You know, it's good. I'm always posting on your page, and I appreciate that. You allow me to post. You're always liking my posts and stuff. Why don't we start a little bit? Why don't you tell us a little bit about your music career? Kind of, where did it all start for you?
Well, actually, I started around 15 years old, starting to take guitar lessons, and then bumped into a cousin of mine almost a year later, and who was getting a band together, and we got a group together, and started a group back then, and I've been playing ever since.
And you played in numerous bands. Were most of them just rock bands? And some blues bands. Why don't you tell us about that?
Yeah, rock bands, blues bands. I was in a wedding band for a while. Doing mostly top 40 stuff, some originals. The bands fluctuated, different ones. Like in the 70s, I was in like a disco and a rock band and different things like that. I mean, whatever was popular at the time we were playing out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was in about 7 or 8 different groups throughout the years.
And so, did you do mainly covers, or did you shuffle in some originals in those bands?
It was mainly covers, but we would throw in some originals with some of the different groups I was in. Yeah, never caught on doing strictly originals all night, you know. So I'd start a band and we'd go out playing, and every time we'd play, we'd throw in add another original in there, trying to sneak them in there until they caught on, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would always be my recommendation to local cover bands. You know, a lot of times people want to come out to a bar and they want to hear what they hear on the radio, and they these folks don't know what they're missing just because they haven't heard your music. You know, they think what's on the radio is best for them to listen to. But there's a lot of original music from these local artists that are just as good as anything that you would hear on the radio. The main FM radio. So I would always encourage them, hey, you know what? Why don't you try to sneak in? If you're afraid, a lot of times the bar owner doesn't want you to play originals. Did you get that from them, from the club owners? Don't play originals.
Oh,
play what they want to hear.
This area was real big on covers. That's what you had to mainly play around here. Your original stuff you actually just recorded and sent out, trying to, you know, get it to different contacts and stuff. You didn't get to play it. But there was like, I'm not saying 100%. There was a couple bands around that would get away with doing all the originals, and you know, some of them like hit pretty, you know, pretty decent with them. But the main thing around here was covers all the time. That was always this area the way it was.
Now you're in a Pennsylvania, Pittston area, right? Is that Western Pennsylvania?
No, it's Northeastern Pennsylvania.
Northeast, up by Scranton and stuff.
I'm right in the middle of Scranton and Wilkes-Barre.
Well, okay, yeah, I know that area pretty good because I used to live in Rochester, New York, and I had a position where once a week I would drive down to New Jersey, so I would take the Pennsylvania Turnpike. That would be the preferred method, especially if you were going to South Jersey from Western New York. You know, you go down, get to the Pennsylvania Turnpike, the Northeast Extension there, and you'd go through Scranton, Wilkes-Barre, Clark Summit, and that was a nice ride there. So back to the original music. So when I talk to bands all the time, and they tell me exactly what you're telling me, the club owners want us to play stuff that people hear on the radio. We want to keep the people up, interested. That's what they want to hear. So I say, well, why don't you just sneak in a cover? Don't tell them it's a cover. Just play it. And then look at the crowd's reaction. If you get a great reaction, to the play, you got people up dancing or really enjoying the music, then you can tell them, hey, you know, that was one of our originals. So here we go. Now we're going to do the Rolling Stones. Yeah. So that would kind of be my
You can get away with originals in the bigger markets like New York with Philly and that you can probably get away with doing original stuff more there than the smaller markets like in this area here, But like I said, there's a few bands that had success with stuff like it. It's not 100%, but I would say, 95% around here is cover stuff all the time.
And then when you do your cover stuff, who do you model your playing after? Do you have particular artists that you like to play or that you've gotten your techniques by following certain artists?
Mostly the classic rock artists I do. The Stones and the Doors and then the blues too. Different blues. Just a couple of covers, but. Oh, my number one band is the Beatles. That's always been with me. To me, they're the top. But so we do some Beatles tunes too. But it's mostly the classic rock stuff from the 60s and 70s and some 50s,
Now I notice you play guitar, I also see you have an acoustic guitar too. So what are you doing these days? Are you playing electric? Are you playing acoustic? Are you out still playing with different bands now?
No, I stopped playing live a little while ago because of health reasons. And I do get out once in a while when I'm up to it, and I put something together and we go out and play. Sometimes I'll go to an open mic, get some guys together. Once a year, I was holding a Christmas bash where I would get my old groupie together, and then we'd have four or five local bands and have a big Christmas bash.
I bet you that's a lot of fun. Yeah, that's a lot of fun. Brings back a lot of nostalgia. You see a lot of the old people that came, the folks that came out to see you in the past. Some fans,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
from the past.
You run across a few. Yeah, sure. But people now, my that are my age that followed us then. they got families and stuff. It's hard for them to get out a lot of times. So that's why actually doing a couple times a year, I get better reaction than if I was trying to go out there every weekend. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely, because it's a big event when you're only there a couple times a year, three, four times a year. That's an event that reminds people, oh, you know, we have to go there. So if you go, you know, if you went every weekend, you know, unless you're traveling, you know, and traveling's tough.
Yeah. I have different musician friends that keep pushing me, come on. You know, they realize, you know, it's hard for me anymore to do, but they won't let me cash it out in 100%. You know, they keep me going.
Yeah, they pull you back in. They pull you back in. They miss your participation. So tell us a little bit about the music room. So what is your mission with the music room? So I go on there a lot and post stuff, and I notice you're talking about gigs and stuff. What is your mission with the music room?
My music room page you're talking about, the page on Facebook?
Yeah, Tony D's Music Room. Yep, on Facebook.
Well, I started that page mainly for local artists to be able to put their gigs on, their music, their songs, their videos, anything they want, you know, and stuff like that. And then a couple of times I posted a few music history facts, and that seemed to catch on. So now I do that big. That's a big part of the page every night. I'll do 40, 50 music history facts on there, and along with the posts from different bands and stuff. And then I promote my own songs on there that I record. I have a home studio here that I record covers and originals. And, you know, I'll put all the instruments in myself and do the vocals and stuff. And sometimes I'll have friends over and we'll do some songs together. And I'll post them on the page along, you know, on other sites also. But I mainly started to try and help local musicians out to put their music on and, you know, announce their gigs, where they're playing, and stuff like that. So it's about half of that and half of the music history now.
Do you ever do Facebook Live? You ever do Facebook Live and do some of your original songs on Facebook Live?
I started doing that just recently, right from here, from my music room. I went on Facebook Live, just me and the acoustic, and do covers or originals, do both. You know, and it seems to go over better than when you post it on YouTube.
Yeah. Especially if you have a lot of following, because now they get to see you live. You know, they get to see you live. And how often do you do that? I'd like to actually catch a couple of those. They stay up on Facebook, right?
Yeah, I post them on the music group page and on my personal page when I do a live one. And I mean, they're there if you dig for them, you know. After so many days, it's buried. But I've done about maybe 6-7 of them up so far. It's just playing live without any equipment, just singing and playing the guitar over through the iPhone, you know.
So you basically put the iPhone up like you would your microphone up on a stand, right? And then basically just play into it, and then not only do they hear you, but they see you. You know, I found that gives pretty decent sound. That gives pretty decent sound.
It does. I just did one with a friend of mine, Bruce Barbini. He's a bass player, and we were up here doing some stuff in my music room here, and I said, "You want to go live on Facebook?" And the guy says, "Yeah, let's do it." You know, so we. So we ended up doing Dead Flowers by the Stones, and went over really well. You know, I put his bass through an amp, and the phone just picked up the amp, and it picked up my acoustic without any amp, and the sound came out pretty decent.
That's very cool. So
That's the latest one I did. You can see that one on my page, so it's still there showing. So.
I'm going to check that out. Yeah. Oh yeah, I think I see it here. It's with. I see a post here with William Green. Looks like he's playing something. I don't want to start playing it, but I'm looking at the music room background photo there, and I see you have. It looks like you have a whole wall of vinyl there. Is that what that is? Are those vinyl?
Yeah.
That's
all vinyl.
And those are all vinyl from the analog days, I bet, right?
Yeah, yeah. I also have a shelf like that full of 45s.
Oh, no kidding. There's a huge difference in the analog records than the ones you go out now and buy that are digital.
Yeah.
You know, you go out to, and they're starting to sell 33 and a third again, LPs, and if they're not cut from the analog tapes, they sound okay. I mean, you know, I don't want to, you know, play them down, but they don't sound as good as the records from the 70s and 80s that were cut from the analog.
Much warmer. There's a much warmer feel with analog and everything than the digital. Digital's convenient, it's quick and
mm-hmm.
stuff, but you can't be recording analog tape. That's the way to go. We do have one studio here, Holland Sound Studios, that's completely analog. And
that's amazing. I wonder where they get their tape. They must still make it. It must be expensive.
That I don't know, but he advertises that he's complete analog, and he's a friend of mine. I know him, and
mm-hmm.
he runs a show too, Live from Holland Studios. He puts local musicians on the air to record some live, and I've done a show with him, and his recording studio is all analog.
All right, I'm looking at a post here, Mercury Records, Vic Damone. Are you a big Vic Damone fan?
No, that's the music history stuff I post.
Okay.
I try and post music history for all tastes. So, everybody, you'll find tons of the music history, and it's all kinds of, from the 40s all the way up till now, people. I researched it, and I try to find something for everybody's taste, every genre, and that, everybody isn't going to like everyone on there because it's all mixed. But,
sure. Absolutely. You know who I like? I like Dean Martin. You like Dean Martin?
I love Dean Martin. He was the coolest guy on the earth.
I know. And his show, I was watching the CDs of his show. And I remember watching him as a little boy, with my parents. And he was, you don't realize how funny these cats were when you were a little boy, okay? But now you watch him and say, man, this guy was hysterical. Not only is he hysterical, he goes right in from his comedy routines to crooning, and playing the music. And the guy, and he's there smoking and sliding down the banister. That was entertainment.
Yeah, it was.
And he was funny as all get out. Yeah, Dino is the greatest. So you grew up in the Wilkes-Barre Scranton area?
Yes.
And now you've been a musician all your life. What other careers have you had? I know a lot of musicians, they work day jobs. I work a day job, so there's nothing to be ashamed of about working a day job. Did you work in the steel industry or the mining industry up in that area?
No, that's there's no steel industry on the northeast part. The mining industry is pretty much dead here now. My last job, I worked for 23 years at the International Airport here, the Wilkes-Barre Scranton International Airport, in maintenance and crash and rescue.
Mm. Oh, it's cool. Like in the emergency services, like fire department and stuff like that, right?
Yeah, and then in the maintenance department, upkeep of the airport,
That sounds like a pretty cool job.
Yeah, it was good. It was interesting.
Paid the bills, right? So I'm looking Yeah, absolutely. You got to put the bread on the table. Now I see you're posting your Jerry Lee Lewis. I liked him also. Was he one of your? I know he was chopping away on the piano most of the time. Was he one of your? I don't want to call him a mentor, but did you do any, modeling after his style? I know he's a piano player, but singing-wise?
Oh, I love Jerry Lee. You know, I mean, I didn't try and copy his style, but we do. Mm-hmm. We used to do hits of his songs. But Jerry Lee, he was, he's one of the originals. You can't beat him. You'll see the music history posts are put on daily, and it's usually what happened on this day. in history. So everything that I posted today would be on from June 12th and whatever year, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking down through the list here. You have Ella Fitzgerald. That must bring a lot of people to your page. Would you say that's a hobby of yours? Doing music history, is that a big hobby that you have?
Well, I used to like to read about all that stuff, and then when I started this page, I ran across a couple sites that, you know, gave you the history for that day of different groups and different, you know, from different eras. And I posted a couple, and, you know, people seemed to like it, so I started doing more and more and more. Now it's a really big part of the page. You'll find just about every type of music in there that I do. I don't just stick with one type of music. So there's something in there for everybody, you know.
Yeah, I'm looking through. You got Pink Floyd, you got Aerosmith, you got Jerry Lee Lewis. Yeah, you run the whole gamut here. Today in music history. You even covered stuff that went on in the UK. Regional Maurice Ball. That's pretty neat, Tony. I like history. I like history. That's kind of why I like interviewing artists, because you get to learn about them. People that come and see local artists, they're under this misconception that, you know, you go there, somebody's setting up your gear, you come on the stage and you're all set to go, and then you just go home to your mansion, and you know, then to the next show. But they don't realize that, you know, local artists are just like them. I mean, they don't have what Aerosmith has, and groupies and people to break down their stuff and put up their stuff. This is not only, you know, music is a lot of fun to be on the stage, but it's hard work, you know, setting stuff up. And I'm preaching to the choir, I'm sure.
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about the local music scene. So, I'm sure you talk to a lot of artists up in that area. What do they tell you about playing out these days? And kind of compare it to when you were in your earlier music career, when you were doing it. So has a lot changed?
As far as playing out, what you're playing out, it really hasn't changed. It's all still playing the popular stuff. What has changed is attendance, you know, people and that, because, I mean, today you've got a lot to take into consideration. The DUIs, they weren't really strict back in when I was playing out in the 60s and 70s like they are now. Prices, I mean, back in my day, you could go out with $20 in your pocket all night. Today, you know, so people, you know, it's tough. Like the younger kids, they still go. They have the money. But a lot of the older people, my age and that now, you know, they've got families, grandchildren and stuff. They can't afford to go out every weekend like that. So it's changed in that way. I mean, a lot, you know, like I said, the stricter drinking laws and stuff has affected a lot of stuff like that. Go ahead.
Are there a lot more places to play now, or less places to play?
In my opinion, I would say there's less to play now.
And then you have more artists trying to get into those places. That's kind of, I think, what's going on too, right?
The open mic jams. The open mic jams are the big thing now. You know, every place is starting to run those. You can find them all over the place anymore. There's good ones and there's bad ones. You know, we have one here in the middle of the week done at a place called Tony's Wine Cellar that's hosted by Eddie Afnell and Brett Alexander, and the owner of Wine Cellar, Victor Giuliano, which is caught on pretty big, and they get a lot of good musicians in there, and that goes on every Wednesday pretty much. That seems to go over good. A lot of places hire DJs now too. It's cheaper. A lot of places don't want to pay full bands now, where you got to go out one, two pieces if you want to get any work. a lot has changed. Back in my day, we could go out with six people, seven people in a band, you know, and play. If you drew the crowd in, you know, you get the work.
You got paid. Yeah.
But today, the bars seem to shy away from hiring bands. I mean, there's still places hiring them, but I mean, I'm talking, you know, mostly. And they're downsizing, you know, the stuff to two pieces, singles, and then a lot of them are hiring DJs.
Yeah.
A lot of musicians are frustrated. They don't know where to go to play, so a lot of them go to the open mics. And they're playing, they're playing for free just to get heard.
Yeah, the open mics are very popular, and the reason I know that is because not only you're telling me, but I have a page called Talk to the Jam. And that is the most hit-on page. People are constantly on Talk to the Jam. So what I try to do now is I actually try to call into these open mics and interview people, you know, while they're at the open mic, or I interview the host on a night that they have off. You know, a lot of times the host is too busy to talk, you know, while he's hosting the jam. But sometimes, you know, we can get to talk to the people that are waiting around. And people are tuning into the archives on Talk to the Jam. That's the busiest page I have. So you're right. The open mics and the jams are the busiest thing. So, you know, plus the musician doesn't have to bring all the gear. A lot of times they provide the back line, the drums, the amplifiers, right? So you're basically going with your guitar.
Whoever holds it does, yeah.
So the audience that goes to the open mics and the jams, are those primarily musicians, or what do you think? Who do you think is going to that? A lot of musicians, right? Obviously, and then the musicians bringing three, four people, some of their family members, some of the people. Who are the musicians bringing to the place?
Well, so, you know, they're friends, like you said, they're friends, they're family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Basically, and that's what it boils down to, you know.
That's a tough way. I guess most of the musicians there aren't getting paid. They're just going to play, like you said, right?
That's right.
Yeah. Now, really, the only way these days to make money in music is really to tour. Even the most popular bands, the national acts, they have to keep touring and going from town to town. I would imagine that's how some of the bands, the local bands today, are doing a lot of traveling to different places. It's a tough life.
Yeah.
It's a tough life. When you played regularly, did you do a lot of traveling, or did you have a fixed circuit that you went on?
Well, some of the groups we stayed within the down in the Philly area, stuff like that. But
we're kind of losing you a little bit, Tony.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, but you're breaking up. I guess it might be your phone.
How about now? I just moved it.
Yeah, that's better. That's better.
Okay.
Yeah. So you played a lot in the Philly area, I guess, when you were playing out more often, right?
I didn't play a lot, but yeah, I played down there a few times. You know.
That was tough, though, doing that travel.
We had roadies and stuff then, and, you know, a band truck that they took and set up before us, and which was good, you know. But,
That's a hike.
It is.
That's a hike. And plus, you're probably working a day job on top of that, I would imagine.
Yeah, well, I had to. I mean, I got married young, so, you know, I had to always make sure there was an income coming in.
Well, I've met very few local musicians that did not have to work a day job. Especially recently, you know, kind of like a band where they're playing in a casino, I would imagine you're playing in a casino, you're getting a little bit more money than if you're playing in the corner bar. A lot of guys tell me that they make more money when they play these festivals and stuff. Did you find that to be true when you were playing out a lot?
Oh, yeah, sure. You would make much better money, sure. You know, the thing is, you're playing. When I was in my teens, my 20s, my 30s, even my 40s, you know, you're playing. You think that life is never going to stop. You don't think that you're going to get old and not be able to do it. And now people that did it and didn't work any kind of day job, you know, get to a point now where they can't do it as much or they can't do it at all, they have nothing. You know,
yeah.
That's the thing. But you don't think about that when you're younger. You think, like, I'm always going to do this, you know. I'm always going to have the income. You don't think about what's up the road ahead of you, you know?
Exactly.
I was working a day job because, you know, I had a house and a family and that, and so I kept at it. But in my mind, I never thought about I'm never going to stop playing, or I'm going to be too old to play, or things are going to change that you can't even make a decent buck out of it anymore. You didn't think of that stuff, you know?
Exactly. Plus the fact that, you know, you're working 40, 45 hours a week on a strenuous job, you know, now you're driving, you're setting stuff up, you're playing, you're out until 1 o'clock in the morning. That stuff, it makes you tired. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It makes you tired.
There was times I'd be playing in Jersey and that for like 2-3 days in a row during the week. And I would have to drive back and forth to go to work. And I'd just drive in, go to work, leave, go back down to play. And then after three days of that, you just came home and you crashed, you know?
Exactly. Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I work now and I work road service. I worked at 56 hours a week and, you know, I do okay with that. And I like helping people, and I do this show 2-3 times a week, and I got to tell you, I'm exhausted because,
yeah.
You know, and then in between doing the shows, I have hundreds of archives that I need to be going through and getting them up. And so I can get that, all the other shows that I've done in the past, get them up on, you know, up on in the cloud there so people can listen to them, and, you know, working the web pages and, you know, going to do this and they're going to do that and doing posting, getting people to listen to the show. So, you know, it's, I can understand, and I'm doing this from my home studio, and I can imagine traveling out, you know, folks say to me, well, come on out to the open mic, you know, do the show from the open mic. I say, shh. I wish I had the energy.
I know. It's crazy anymore.
Yeah, I wish I had the energy. But, so I love your page, man. And I really appreciate you allowing me to do posts and stuff a few times a week. I really, really appreciate that.
That's what it's there for, Al.
Thank you so much. And Please feel free to post on my pages as well. I've got a couple of pages there that you can post on that you're a member of, a couple of groups, and you're more than welcome to post on there. I forgot what I was going to ask you. So let's see here. I'm kind of running out of things to talk to you about. I'm looking down through this page here, and you know, I just love what you're doing with this page. I like the fact that you're doing this history, and a lot of these bands here and these musicians. You got Sad Boy Brown there. I am just
they're one of my favorites too.
Yeah, and that takes some doing to get all that history up there. Do you post on other groups to get people to come and see your group? Do you do a lot of other posting?
There's a group page called Goldies and Oldies or something like that that requested that I do my music history on there. So I actually post all that history on both pages, mine and theirs. And I get a lot of reaction from there because they have a very big membership, members. They have a lot, a real lot, the thousands. Once in a while, I get in the mood, I'll advertise the page on other group pages, you know, for people to come on over and check it out. But, you know, I don't do that often. I figure people will find it, you know.
Do you do anything else with your own website at all? Or you just basically do Facebook?
I just do Facebook. I do YouTube, and I'm on a couple other ones, ourstage.com and SoundCloud. I put my music on that stuff, too, on those pages. And that's about it. And then on Facebook, I have a Revolver page from when I had my band Revolver. It's called Tony D Solo and with Revolver on Facebook.
You did a lot of Beatles with that band?
Yeah. We didn't do a real lot. The name wasn't a Beatles tribute band. It was we did Beatles songs because we liked to do them and they were popular. But we did a lot of classic rock. Revolver did. Besides
gotcha.
Beatles.
Gotcha. All right, Tony. So why don't you give the folks the name of your pages that you're going? Actually, you got somebody calling in here. Let's get them on the line here. Let's see who this is. Hang on a second.
All right.
Hey,
how you doing?
This is Al Fink. You're on the line here with Tony D. Who's this?
Hi, my name is Bruce Barbini. I'm a musician. I write. I met Tony about 6 years ago via Facebook. And, you know, obviously everybody had heard of him, you know, in the northeastern Pennsylvania. And we became fast friends. And I'll tell you what, he turned me on to a lot of music and made me was a bass player, but again, I was more into the Metallica, the Iron Maiden, the Megadeth music, you know. And after getting to know Tony and the music that he started turning me on to,
Do me a favor, lower your computer, okay? Because we're kind of hearing that.
I'm turning it up. Yeah, it's turned up or lowered down.
Okay, thank you.
But you know, he was generous enough to show, turn me on bands like Procol Harum, the Stones, and especially the Beatles, because I'm a couple years younger, not much, but a couple years, a generation. You know, he was 60s, 70s. I was late 70s, 80s. And just by, you know, again, being so generous, he would show me the music, and I would listen to the bass lines, and these musicians from the 60s and 70s, where Tony came from, were so knowledgeable and knew their instruments so well that after I started learning and started, you know, again, he was generous enough to let me play, and we recorded together some videos, which are all on YouTube on his site. I actually became, in my 50s, a better bass player because of the music that he liked. And I had to start studying music theory again, and it made me a better bass player than I was before. So I got, he's very, very generous, great guy. And I'm not, you know, saying that it's the truth. And he's very well liked, and he has a great reputation around here. And,
I get that feeling by looking at his pages and some of the comments that are on his pages and some of the things that he does. It's very nice of you to call and tell us that. It's always great to hear that.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what. I'm one of maybe God knows how many that he's really helped. It's just not me. And till this day, we're still playing, and here I am in my 50s, and I'm having the time of my life learning all this new material and again, it just made me a better bass player. And, you know, again, it's just not me. And again, it's his generosity of being able, he'll teach. He doesn't hold back. He's not in any PA, we have sort of sometimes the musicians butt heads. It's not like when I was out in California where they help each other. Tony's willing, more than willing, to help, show, and teach. And, not only is he a very good friend, but he's a terrific musician. And I have an absolute blast playing with him. Totally changed my whole outlook on music. And I've been playing for 35 years.
That's fantastic.
Where do I send
the
check, Ruth?
Okay, how much money do I get for saying that? No, I'm dead serious. And again, like I said, I'm one of many, many musicians that, well, you could just look, if you go and look at his videos, you'll see all the people that he's played with, well, that he was generous enough to share his music room with and make videos with. So, again, and it's really a blast, and I absolutely love playing with him. I really do. And I'm recording a new album as we speak, my first solo album, and a lot of it is influenced, believe it or not, by the music that Tony has turned me on to. Like my first album that I co-wrote with another group was a metal power chord album that, you know, went over good, the type of music that I grew up with, Alice Cooper, Kiss, and I missed the Beatles era and the Poco and the Procol Harum and the Kinks and the Stones. And it's just his generosity that said, and again, learning these bass lines, because these musicians like Tony really knew their instruments. There's a big difference from the musicians today that will pick up a bass or a guitar, and in 3 months, because of the way they look, that they could be superstars. Now, back when you're learning a song by the Stones, a Bill Wyman bass line or a Gary Thayne bass line from Uriah Heep, you better know what you're doing, and you better be a player. And Tony is one heck of a player and writer, by the way, and a better friend, to be completely honest with you. And that's it.
That's amazing. Hey, Tony, I see a piano in the background. Do you also play the piano?
Well, I don't play it out live. I use it when I'm recording, songs and putting all the instruments in,
Mm-hmm. So I know a lot of musicians, they actually compose the songs on the piano. Is that kind of what you do with it?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, I've written a couple songs that I did on the piano. I do it mostly with guitar, but I use it to put on, mix in with all the instruments in on the songs mostly. I teach myself it more than anything. I don't call myself a keyboard player, but I try and learn how to do what I need to do. You know what I mean?
I got you. Now, sir, the gentleman that called in, tell us your name again. I'm sorry. I didn't quite get it in the beginning.
Bruce Barbini.
Okay, yeah, Tony was talking about you earlier in the show.
Yeah, it's funny. I had a little bit of a hard time getting on. I was going, getting a little anxious trying to get on here. I started at about, 7:45, but I finally got in. And I'm glad I did because, like I said, very good friend. And by the way, one thing he didn't mention, because, he's not the type of one to go around bragging, his production value is amazing. I mean, in his studio, the songs sound like they were recorded at SRI Studios in New York. He's a terrific, terrific producer. He just has a knack for knowing when a keyboard should be in or when a violin should be in, and his harmonies. He has a terrific vocal range too. That's another thing that, he could soprano, baritone, tenor, you name it, and he could sing it. And he's been doing it his whole life. Like I said, in the 6 years, you know, I've been, I consider myself very fortunate, and that you know, and I mean that sincerely. I really do. And
you,
he makes
and you
a
met
lot
Tony
of his videos, too.
Did you meet Tony through Facebook or
at
a gig?
Well, I knew of him, obviously, but we just started talking, and I caught a couple of his videos on Reverb Nation, on his Facebook, and we started what was called a Musicians Luncheon back in 2011, where a bunch of us that didn't know each other from Adam, musicians, that would meet in NEPA Musicians, a website, and we started talking, and finally we started having these musician luncheons once a month to where it got up to about 14 to 16 people, and it started with three, George Romiti, Tony, and myself. And people, you know, the more musicians got, they got more interested. We took tours of the Martin Guitar Factory, which is only about a 45-minute ride from where we live. And again, we all, you know, we just start sharing parts of, you know, our musical knowledge. And
the bands form from that alliance there?
Well, I'll tell you what, that's a very good question. We put together, like with Tony, he's got about, right now, he's got about six bands going because, you know, a lot of people want to play with them, me included. And we, right now, the last show we did, we were called the Brats. We took all our first names and put it together, and it's spelled Brats. And we did an open mic, and I got to tell you, the talent, like a Brett Alexander from the band The Badleys. I don't know if you've heard of them. They had a big hit back, I think, in, Tony, what was it, the 90s? They had the Angelina's Coming Home and Fallen, and they were signed by Sony at one time. But, I mean, it's amazing, the talent at these open mics. It really is. It's the best of the best. You cannot go up there if you're a ham and egger because, you know, it'll show. But
I like that, ham and egger.
Yeah, well, that's what we call them. But anyway, I wanted to call in because, you know, just of what, you know, how he's helped me. And, you know, again, he's a very good friend, more than anything else. And Tony, I love you, brother, and I'll see you soon, okay?
Bruce, I appreciate you calling in. That was really nice.
Hey,
thank you.
No problem.
Al.
And Al,
yes.
Be good,
Al,
okay, buddy?
Thank you, Bruce. Thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening.
All right. Bye-bye.
Take care, Bruce.
All right. Thank you, Bruce.
Take care, T.
Al, you're going to have to kick in on this track for me. This is going to be a big one.
That's, I'll tell you, it's nice. It's nice to have friends like that, man. That is fantastic. That is fantastic. It only goes to show how, you know, the time that you put into your music has paid off, not only, you know, for yourself, but not only, playing, but allowing people to learn how to play and what to play. And, It's just a great sharing experience. And then we were talking about the open mics and how they're incubators.
Yeah.
And that's the most popular page that I have, the open mics. People just want to go to open mics, and that's the place to go. So, Tony, it's been fantastic. I've been meaning to get you on the show for quite some time. I've been following your page and posting on your page for the better part of 2.5 years. And I really appreciate it.
I appreciate you having me on, Al.
No problem. I need, without guys like yourself, we wouldn't have a show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have Tony D from Tony D's Music Room. Check it out on Facebook. Check out his Google, YouTube sites, right? You have YouTube sites. And look him up. Maybe he can teach you something. All right, Tony, we want to wish you a good evening. Want you to stay well. How is it up there today? Pretty hot, I bet, right?
Yeah,
like 90.
First time I got in the pool today.
It was like 90 down. It was like 90 down here. I was over by the beach this afternoon, this morning, very early afternoon. It was really nice. It was there was a nice ocean breeze, but as you get further inland, I bet you it was a lot hotter. Well, it's summertime. Summertime is here. Beats that damn
we
winter.
We get lots of winter. We don't get much summer, so I think all that wants to give.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, Tony. So tomorrow I'll shoot the archive over to Tony D's music room, and you have it forever. You can post it up and post links to it, and it'll be a forever archive. Okay.
I appreciate the help. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for coming on with us. Be well. Take care. Keep making
great
music. And
let's do this again.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Tony. All right. This is Al Fink here at BNC Live. We thank Tony D. Tony is a great musician, great mentor, great teacher. You heard it from Bruce Barbini. I'm sure there's a lot of other people that were listening that knows Tony. And, hey, without guys like Tony, we wouldn't have a show. Get out there and listen and see some local musicians perform. You don't know what you're missing if you're not listening to them and a lot of their original music. I know you like the covers, but the original music from these guys is just as good. These guys and girls, just as good. And they need you to come out, buy their CDs, listen to their music. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to drink, get a designated driver. Get out there to these shows. This is Al Fink. We might be back tomorrow night with another live show, but I've been digging into the archives. I think over the last couple of days, I posted up six of them. We got a new site coming up called localmusiconmainstreet.com. Okay, we're working on that now. We're going to build the show around local music and local musicians. Our show has always been around local music and local musicians. I'm just trying to come up with different ways to interest people to getting out to see local music on Main Street. All right, this is Al Fink over here at bnclive.com. Be safe. Get out there. We love you all. Thanks. Come on back. Keep checking the website, bnclive.com. You'll see a lot of different updates on there. And also talktothejam.com, up and running right now. Okay, good night, Tony. Good night, everybody. Al Fink, bnclive.com.